All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, February the 17th, 2025. Monday, happy President's Day. Hope everybody is off today for the holiday. I can't remember. I guess some people still work. I don't know. I don't know how that works, but happy holiday, whatever's going on in your life. It is Monday. Snow potentially is in the forecast, or it was. Seems to come and go. At one point, we're getting 20 inches, and now I heard we're not getting anything. So, man, what a roller coaster when it comes to snow. We've had a lot of snow here on the east side this year for some reason. I don't know what's going on, but it's been pretty snowy. And we've been dealing with it. So, I don't know. I don't want 20 inches of snow, thank you. 5 or 6 inches is fine. Creates a little drama. I do like snow drama. But I do not want 20 inches of snow. That is a freaking mess. And so I guess we'll just have to see. We'll be patient. My wife called me. She's like, they're saying no snow now. And I'm like, really? It's not the end of the world, right? When it snows, man, it really fucks up my schedule. So I'm not completely disappointed, but I know she was looking forward to it. I think she just likes the snow drama. I don't know. Whatever. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I just thought I'd come upstairs and see if I could do a podcast and, you know, chat a little bit. I had a little rough morning this morning. My son's been with us all week. And, you know, my son's a teenager and, man, I do remember what it was like to be a teenager, so I cut him a little slack, but man, I just had it this morning, and this freaking, you know what the challenge is, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that goes through it, but these phones are a fucking problem, and he is always on that damn phone, and he's been with us all week. I mean, he must have said one or two words to us all week. Been playing video games. We had a weird week. They were off, they were on, we had snow, we were off. But man, he just goes in that room and gets on that video game with his friends, and he's perfectly fine. He's content with not talking to us at all. And maybe that's how I was. I'm sure that's how I was. But man, it's frustrating. And you know, I don't want to, you know, as a kid that grew up with everything taken away, right? Everything got taken away. Such a different world when I was growing up. We had chores. This shit had to get done. There was no friends, right? No friends with my parents. This is the shit. My brother and I, we would vacuum the house. We would dust. You know, my mom worked. That house would be freaking on point when she got home. And my kids can barely feed the cat. And it's my fault, right? It's our fault. I could be tougher, but, you know, I don't want to bum them out, right? I don't want to hurt their feelings and all this shit. And it's just, I'm not doing my son any favors right now by being as soft as I am. So this morning I'd had it. You know, he was asleep at like 10 o'clock. I'm like, get the fuck out of bed, right? And it just all sort of boiled up. I'm like, give me your phone. You're done. You know, it'd be one thing if, and, you know, ideally, at least this is what I told myself back in the day was, you know, I want him to have a phone so that he can call me, right? He goes back and forth from between me and his mother. And I'd like to talk to him, right? Because I have feelings too, right? And so I don't want him to think I don't love him. And it's such bullshit, right? I mean, I don't know if it's bullshit. It's bullshit how I think about it, right? It's bullshit that I have these, you know, I don't want him to think I don't love him and all this stuff. And so, you know, of course I got him a phone so he could communicate. He doesn't call me at all. I call him during the week on his phone that I pay for. He doesn't even answer. Or it goes to voicemail, or he'll send me to voicemail. And I'm like, what the fuck? So this morning I sort of had it. I took the freaking phone away from him, gave him a ride to his mom's, said, see you later. You know, his grades aren't great, right? The expectations at school are very low. Last year I'm like, just pass, man, right? Just pass. That was never said to me, right? You need it. My dad wanted us to get, and if we got all A's, I think we got 50 cents an A. Right. And we don't give the kids money for their grades anymore. But, you know, Jesus, have some expectations of yourself. And I feel like we're heading back into that. Grades aren't great. Things aren't being turned in. I'm like, what is this? it says it hasn't been turned in. Oh, she just hasn't turned it or marked it as turned in yet. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, I just basically put my head under the blanket and just ignore it. And unfortunately, I'm not doing my kidney service, man. I really, you know, he's going to come out of this. He's going to be 18 one day and be like, what the hell? And, you know, I'm going to have to take some responsibility for that because I'm just not being a very good parent right now. And so I took his phone away so he can go to his mom's and he can have no phone for the week. And, you know, I don't even know if I'm going to even give him the phone back, right? I want better grades. The other thing is, like, he can't even have a conversation with us. I say, how you doing?
Good.
And he just sort of, you know, he mumbles. I'm like, what's going on?
Nothing.
I go, well, are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, dude, talk, use words. That's driving me crazy. And grades are low. Things aren't turned in. It's just, I don't know. I'm just really, I've had it. Jam. Riot Act. That's off of Riot Act. So, yeah, All or None. Well, none. You got no phone. And now I feel bad. I feel bad, and that's just something I'm going to have to work through because, you know, it's funny, and I don't know if anybody else, I'm sure, actually, I know other people are going through this. It has to be. We are the pioneers, right, of we are the first to have kids that have phones, right? There is, you know, from this point on, this will be the norm and we'll evolve and figure out how to handle these kind of situations. But, you know, this is new for me. And I have taken his phone away before and immediately he changes, right? And the thing that bothers me the most is just the lack of interaction. Now, my daughter is just, now my daughter does the same sort of thing. My daughter's on her iPad with her friends all the time. Same thing he does. But she doesn't stay in a room. She's out through the house. She carries a freaking iPad around. She's, you know, at least she's interacting with the family. I mean, she's not on all the time, but she's not, neither one of them are great, right? But it's just the interaction. And, you know, I can have a conversation with her. With him, I can't even, he's not, he won't, he doesn't use his words. And but the funny thing is, like, I'll get these long rambling texts explaining what his position is. And, you know, we have this family chat group that with our family up in Connecticut, and they'll write something and he writes this long response. And my wife and I are like, who's that kid? Right. They love to type. They can talk all day typing. But when it comes to actually communicating with words in person, he just just doesn't do it. And I keep telling myself, well, he's a teenager, he's going through, but I remember it, but no. He can do without the phone for a while. We'll see how it works. They just get entranced into this freaking telephone, man, and it's just driving me crazy. So that's what's going on. I'm a little I'm not centered on the beam at the moment. I feel a little guilty and bad that I took it away. And I'm waiting for a phone call from his mom, wondering what happened. And yeah. Oh well. We'll get through it. But yeah, you know, it is Monday. Back to the meetings this week. I go to a meeting tonight. We are on the 12th step. Probably not going to go to the meeting. I'm probably going to go to a different meeting because I just don't feel like reading the 12th step. It's long and it's boring. And actually, we'll break it up into two readings. It'll be this week and next week. And more than likely, most of the people in the meeting have not done the 12th step or even close to it. So, yeah, I think I'll go to a different meeting where we're reading out of the big book. I think it'll probably be something in the big book, but I'm going to skip it. But, you know, I will talk about the 12th step. Having had the spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, I don't know the answer. I mean, I don't know. I don't have my book. But basically, you know, all that we've learned out of these 12 steps, our job now is to be there for the next alcoholic. And thank God. Can you imagine if it said, having had the spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, you're good, right? There'd be nobody in the program, right? Everybody would be, like, graduated. But it says, you know, my job now is to be there for the next alcoholic, just like somebody was there for me when I came walking in. And so I get it, right? I try to get 3 meetings a week for the newcomer. And, you know, I'm sponsoring some guys, and it's going great. And, you know, it's all good. But, you know, the 12 step is nice because it does, you know, the journey, the guy that came into this program compared to the guy today, what a difference. What a huge difference. And, you know, back in those days, I wasn't having kids, right? I wasn't buying cell phones. I wasn't, I was always the one with my hand out, right? I was it's funny. It's almost like being a liberal, right? I was a liberal. No offense, right? But it was, you know, I needed help. I couldn't quite get it together. And I'm not saying that's for like every liberal, but, you know, as a person that's sort of grown up, it seems like we all start off sort of liberal, right? We're all getting into a groove and trying to figure it out. And there's such a long way till the end, you know, God forbid something bad happens to us, but, you know, the natural progression till old age, it's a long road. And listen, I'll take some help, you know, but as we get older, we get farther down the path, right? We start being more conservative, right? We start to protect what we have and not as interested in what people have to give us. So, but that's how I was when I came in this program, man. I had nothing. I needed help, right? I needed a ride. I needed a sponsor. I needed a friend, right? I needed a handshake. I needed a hug. I needed everything. I was so broken and immature and self-centered that I just needed everything. And over time, right, because early on I'm like, am I going to be able to even do this, right? And, you know, and I still don't look at this as like I've graduated, right? It's one day at a time. We all only have today. I've seen how this disease can sneak back up on me and take me down pretty quick. So I do not take it for granted that I've won, right? But, you know, I pretty much keep doing the same thing. I've changed everything I've needed to change. I've changed all my lifestyles, my habits, the private and public, right? I'm in a pretty decent place today. You know, I went to a meeting last week and my sponsor celebrated 18 years. I'll celebrate 17. I'm one behind him. And, or I'm two behind him. And, you know, it was great to listen to him. And him and I have been friends for all of that time. And, you know, we come in, and what I love about his story, and I've shared this before, is that, you know, he said, you know, and he was a guy that got a lot of DUIs, went to jail for DUIs, and finally ended up down here. A last move hope, a geographical change. I guess he had family here, and he came in to the area moved in with this I think his aunt, maybe. And they were both in the program, and they, you know, they got behind him. And one of the things he did is he said, I'm not going to drive my car, right? I'm going to get rides. Luckily, he was pretty plugged in. The family that he moved down here with was already in the program, so they could connect him with some good people. And he, you know, got a ride, and, you know, he shared in his story that the guy that gave him a ride taught him a lot, right? But he made the decision early, I'm not going to drive. I'm not going to continue doing the same thing that I've been doing, right? And I always respect that. You know, that is the third step, right? We recognize it, we admit it, right? I am an alcoholic, and it asks us to find a belief in something higher than ourselves, right? And then the third step is basically start making better choices. Stop doing the dumb shit that I've been doing. And obviously, when I came in, there was a lot of dumb shit I was doing. Very easy to clean up 75% of it, right? Stop drinking, right? Stop hanging out in bars. Stop, you know, going down to Dewey Beach, right? Stop, you know, I know people that are like, well, I don't drink, but I'll go to the bar and have a seltzer. Eh-eh, bad idea. It's just a bad idea. They don't want you there. You don't need to be there. The only thing that wants you at the bar drinking seltzers is the devil. Because one of these times you're going to be like, well, maybe I can have a near beer or something, right? We don't hang out in barbershops because you end up getting a haircut, right? And so we start changing all these things. Stop going to the bar. Stop sniffing bottles, right? Whatever it is that we're doing, stop it. And that's the beginning of the road to recovery, right? And it talks about it in the third step. Turn our will and our lives, our thinking and our actions, right? How I think reflects in how I act. And if we start doing that on the humble side, we start making better choices. And immediately, right? Immediately, we stop having some of the major problems that we were having, right? The number one thing is, right, admit we're powerless over alcohol, that our lives become unmanageable, and stop drinking. We got to stop drinking. But if we can just stop drinking, oh, so many problems. When I came in, I thought all my problems were from drinking. So I stopped drinking, and it was real easy for me to think, oh, I fixed everything, right? But over time, with the sponsor, these steps, we start to uncover more. If we choose to, right? If I want to. I choose how happy I want to be, right? I choose how sober I want to be. And actually, I choose if I want to start working towards serenity. And through these steps, we get to it. We get down there, that end of that road, and hopefully serenity's there. But it's an honest program, and we have to be rigorously honest. And the first ones are pretty easy. Just don't drink, man. You'll start feeling better. But we start making better decisions, and then we start going through that moral inventory, right? Start understanding, you know, the Mr. Jones. I hate Mr. Jones. And I hate Mr. Jones's, whatever it was, I forget the story, but, you know, I hate Mr. Jones's house, I hate Mr. Jones's car, and then we start realizing what that's about, that's ego and pride, and then we start being accountable, right? You know, I used to be jealous and annoyed by other people. My brain told me I just didn't like them. Really, I didn't like their success, and what really I didn't like is the fact that I had none, zero success, and that's fine. But I had to get to the point where I could say, this might be your fault, man. This might be, you know, when all of the people on the bus went to school and went into the school building, you went around over to Winchell's Donuts and hang out with the girls and smoke cigarettes. That's why you got what you got, right? Instead of just being like, I can't stand that guy and everything he has, I had to start becoming accountable and realizing that I have what I have because of what I put into it. It's accountability. It's a humble move, right? And it's just another process, right? And then we get into the fifth step, and we start sharing all of our darkest, dirtiest little things, right? Then we get into working on our character defects and our shortcomings, right? And that's the 20, you know, to me, that's that, the 25% of the rest of my problems, right? Especially shortcomings. But, you know, learning about my character, stop lying, stop cheating, stop stealing. You know, we start putting the shopping carts back, right? We start folding our towel, we start picking up our clothes, we start making our bed, we start just doing the next right thing. And we get in that habit. We do it so much that when we don't do it, we feel bad about it. We know. And when we know that's God for me talking to me. You know, if I'm doing the next right thing all the time, I feel pretty good. If I come to a point when I don't do the next right thing, something in my mind reminds me, you didn't do that and you should have. And that's God to me talking. You know, but that's over time. We start to feel feelings and, you know. I came in this program thinking everything that was easy was good and everything that was hard was bad. And today, at the other end of this 12 steps, the way I look at things, everything is hard is good and everything that is easy in my life is bad. And that's a little extreme, but I've had to make the whole switch. You know, instead of being like, oh, I got a hard day's worth of work. You know, today I'm like, man, this is going to be a great day. I'm going to be serving other people. Right? What can I do to get up and help other people instead of getting up and focusing on helping myself? Right? I've lived my whole life. What can I do to make me feel better? And through the steps in this program, I get up today and I say, what can I do to make other people feel better? Most of the time, right? I'm not perfect, but it's just, you know, it's a transition. It's a shift. It's a change. It happens, but it's over time, right? And then we get into that 11th step where I talked about the other day, we make our amends. And then, you know, we make a list of all people and we reach out to them and we say, we're sorry. You know, but it was a real teaching moment for me because I had to make the list of all the people that had harmed me so that I could recognize the part that I played. And realizing then it was really my fault and I actually owed those people an amends. You know, it's a process. You know, it gives it to us, we work through it, and then we start to awaken up. Start to learn who we are and why we are the way we are, why I am the way I am. And then we get into the 10th step where it says, you know, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. You know, I add at the end, and don't do it again, right? Don't continue to make mistakes and promptly admit it, right? And make an amends, and then continue to do it over. There's sickness in there. We have to go back to the fourth step and figure out why we're trying to do these things. What's behind it, right? But when we can get to that place, and then we start doing that 11th step, I start doing that 11th step where for me, it's really just, you know, taking an inventory of the day and how to handle it, you know, how to navigate through this day that I'm about to go through. And that's, you know, that's important because I've gone through many a days and fucked up and been like, wonder what happened, right? And so today I try to manage it. I had one of those days today. I had a client that was supposed to do it 1:30. I was supposed to take my dad to an attorney's office at 1:00. I was going to have to move that appointment. All of a sudden, couldn't get a ride to the attorney's office. Everything kept changing, right? But I kept communicating, right? Kept communicating. I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen with this appointment. Finally, this morning, I text her, and I'm like, why don't we push it back a week? I don't know what's happening. She was like, that's fine. And so I fixed it because I didn't want to get to the point where, like, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. You know, because what is the first thing I always say? I should have planned better and should have let you know, right? And so I don't want to do that. So I'm trying to plan better and let people know. That way I don't have to say that as an excuse. Right? And then we get to the 12th step, right? Having had the spiritual awakening. Because I tell you, you know, when I live my life, or when I was existing prior to getting sober, I lived a life of fear. I didn't know it, wasn't aware of it, but that's what it was. What am I not going to get? Who's not going to give it to me? Who's going to be in the, who's going to block me from getting what I want? What are the mysterious things that are going to happen to me in my life that aren't going to allow me to get what I want, right? Because I'm not accountable for everything, so for anything. So, of course, it's everybody's fault, right? And so what a terrible existence. And today, you know, I don't live like that. You know, I live a peaceful, happy, simple life. Got a text. I live a simple, happy, easy life, and I don't have to, hopefully, right, do all of these things that I used to have to do. Yeah. So anyway, hopefully at the end of the 12th step, we've come through the fire and we're living a better life and we're not living a life of fear and we understand what gets us there. And, you know, it's a wonderful experience. And then we have to keep coming, right? Or we get to, you know, we don't have to do anything. We get to keep coming to be there for the next person that wants to start this journey, right? I've said before, it's great to go to New York City, right? But I've been by myself, and I've been and had a terrible time, and I've gone with somebody that knows the city, and I've had a wonderful time. And so that's what we are. We're the tour guide, right, of this program. And, you know, I don't tell people what to do. I just share the things that I go through. And if that helps, it helps. If it doesn't, you know, it doesn't. But that's what I do. You know, I'm here. I'm consistent, right? I know when I first came into the program and I would, you know, I would look forward to going to a meeting to see the people that I saw last week, right? It was just a small little sliver of a relationship, but it was honest and it was important to me because at that point in my life, I was very broken. And so people that are new, they like to come in. You know, I have people come up to me all the time that say, thank you for shaking my hand when I came in, right? It's these little things. We come in so fucked up. And all it takes is just a handshake and a how you doing. And, you know, every week, people that have been down like myself look forward to that. And so sometimes it's all they have. And so, you know, that's what my job is today, is to do that, to reach my hand out and welcome people and chat with them. And, you know, because I've said, you know, meetings are what transitioned me from a dirtbag to basically a human, right? Because it's hard to go from the life I was living to this life I have today, naturally, right? Meetings allow me to come in off the street and sort of exist and start to learn how to be a human again, right? Shake hands, listen to people, look people in the eye, you know, listen to people, have a conversation and not make it all about me all the time, which that took me a while, right? I didn't realize some of the shit that I would, you know, if someone would tell me something, I'd say, oh, that happened to me. And I'd be like, not even understanding that that is just selfish, right? And so it is a natural transition, and it's a wonderful thing. Excuse me. Yeah. So anyway, let's see. I'm going to read the Daily Reflections, and let's see. Yeah, his mom just found out he didn't have his phone. She's like, oh, his Life 360 still shows him at your house. Yeah. All right. Let's see, Daily Reflections, and then I'm going to have a conversation, I guess, with my ex-wife. All right. February the 17th, the love in their eyes. Some of us won't believe in God. Others can't. And still others who do believe that God exists have no faith whatever. He will perform this miracle. 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 25. My God. All right. It was the changes I saw in the new people who came into the fellowship that I helped me lose my fear and change my negativity, my negative attitude, to a positive one. I could see the love in their eyes, and I was impressed by how much their one day at a time sobriety meant to them. They had looked squarely at step two and came to believe that a power greater than themselves was restoring them to sanity. That gave me faith in the fellowship and hope that it could work for me too. I found that God was a loving God, not that punishing God I had feared before coming to AA. I also found that he had been with me during all those times I had been in trouble before I came to AA. I know today that he was the one who led me to AA, and that I am a miracle. That's right. That is right. All right. Well, listen, I hope everyone has a great day. I hope that wasn't too boring, but that's what's going on for me, man. That, you know, this program works for a lot of things in my life. It just doesn't have to be, you know, my desire to drink alcohol. It's just managing life and trying to use the steps and, you know, and weird things pop up, man, and can throw us for a tizzy. So I'm just sharing it all. All right. I hope everyone has a great day. Later.